Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, April the 8th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. He went out to get his headset, so I'm not sure if he's gotten there yet.
Thank you, dear heart. And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. We're delighted that you're here with us. We have a sunny, beautiful blue sky, white, fluffy cloud day here in Orlando, Florida, getting ready for our intensives here starting on the 17th. And we are blessed and honored by the fact that you choose to join us. And delighted to have this opportunity to share this time with you. Our work is the work of forgiveness. And a couple of, a few months ago, we talked about the film based on the life of T.L. Travers, who is the woman that that wrote Mary Poppins. And we just shared that both of those films, actually, over the last couple of nights with the parents that we're staying with here in Orlando. And I was struck on another level. There were several pieces watching the film the second time around, several pieces that spoke to me I had missed the first time. But what really struck me powerfully was how deeply this woman's life was influenced by a dynamic which is totally hidden in our world, a dynamic that no culture hardly even speaks of or approaches. And yet in the Aramaic is described with a three-letter suffix, a four-letter suffix, pardon me, that really indicates how life can be controlled by the past. In the ancient Aramaic, there's a suffix "ota," O-O-T-A. And in the Aramaic language, if you added that suffix to a word, that indicated that something from the past, or pardon me, something from the unconscious, which of course would be the equivalent of the past, is influencing perceptions, decisions, and behaviors. And as you watch these two films back to back, and you know, you could watch them in either order, perhaps watch Mary Poppins and then Saving Mr. Banks, and then Mary Poppins again to really catch. This is, you know, based on a true story. Some things from childhood, unresolved in his mind, that totally drive her life. And this woman's, you know, probably in her 60s by the time she confronts Walt Disney, and for 20 years Disney's been trying to get her to turn this book into a film, and she has steadfastly refused. And finally, because she's running out of money, she comes to America and she's going to have a line-by-line edit on the film. And the dynamics that show up, the miserable state of just really controlled life that she leads. Now, we've talked about the controlled life, the driven life. I guess it would be more for her would have been driven by these past dynamics, are so powerfully displayed in this film, and I think give pause for each of us to look at what kind of unresolved dynamics are there in our lives that are impacting our level of joy and aliveness, are impacting the behaviors that we do, impacting the way we hold ourselves back and hold ourselves out of possibility. And there's a powerful conversation. This woman comes to America and she's just so miserable and hard to work with that everybody rolls their eyes every time she says something. And finally, she finds an excuse to pack her bags and go back to England. And she withdraws all participation in the making of the film. It's an interesting way that it happens, because after, and they don't really give a time frame to it, but after some significant amount of time, and she's in her misery, all of a sudden she starts to open up, she starts to actually let some joy into her experience of working with this film, and which is an indicator of a new level of vitality. In the forgiveness work, we recognize a thing called the healing process, and that the thing that precedes working through the next level is an increase in vitality. And so this woman has this increase in vitality, and the next thing you know, she finds the excuse to take her paperwork back to Disney and say, forget it, I'm not signing off on this, and we're not doing this film. And she gets on an airplane and goes back to England. But she goes back with a little bit of a softened heart. You see her at the airport, and you know, things are softening for her. And she gets back and, of course, is pretty miserable. But then just hours after she gets home and is sitting there stewing in her misery, Walt Disney shows up. True story. He gets on an airplane and follows her. And he's come to understand what it is that's driving her and what it is that has created a block between them. If you've done our Healing Through Relationships workshop, then you've heard us talk about relationships based in matching bags of garbage. And how are relationships based in matching bags of garbage, the world calls love relationships, but leaves us at odds with each other because of the unresolved past. And every time that one is painting a picture on the inside of their eyes out of something from their past, they're going to experience some form of hostility or fear and tends to blame someone else. And Disney becomes to understand how her abused childhood and the fact that Mary Poppins was simply a disguised story of her childhood, which she had no idea was what she had done with that film. And Disney relates to her how he has been abused as a child. He goes through his childhood story. And his dynamic was that of being abused. And he was certainly, you know, if you were to have a standard for it in the world, he certainly experienced a significant amount of abuse in her hands. And she's experienced her father not keeping his word. And just huge amounts of unresolved pain over that. And so this is one of the prime drivers in her life. And, you know, when she shows up and, you know, this is going to be what takes care of her for the rest of her life is her royalties from the film, she will not sign off on that because she doesn't trust that Disney will keep his word. And finally, in a very impassioned monologue, he shares with her his story and then recognizes that, you know, the dynamic with her father, and she says, well, I don't need to forgive my father. He was a wonderful man. And Disney says, you're right. You don't need to forgive your father. And then without the actual language of understanding directly first century Aramaic forgiveness, he comes about as close as you can to saying, yes, but you've got to forgive painful dynamics inside of you that came from your relationship with your father. He does speak it in terms of forgiving herself, but the context of his conversation is just so on track for first century Aramaic forgiveness, and sharing with her that's what she needs to do. And so finally, having done that, he again, impassionately pleads with her, look, you can trust me. Her father was an alcoholic, suffered a very, for her, what was a very traumatic death, as she observed, and how that has impacted her and carried on through her life. And as she looks at her, he looks at that and shares with her this dynamic, he tells her that she can trust him. You know, he answers the question of her life, and that is, her father broke his word, she can't trust anyone. And he says, you can trust me. And we're going to save your father. And from there on, it's healing. From there on, it's process. From there on, the space just opens in just a very, very powerful way. So if you haven't seen those two films, I don't know whether they're on Netflix or not. I imagine they probably are. But they are very, very powerful to watch juxtaposed and really have an eye as you watch the story of her life, which is the movie Saving Mr. Banks and the writing of Mary Poppins. And just watch for all the nuances, all the things that then in Mary Poppins end up showing up as being part of the book and control her life. Just this powerful way to inspire us to look at ourselves and what are the Uta brain cells that perhaps keep us out of the possible joy of the relationships that we're in or the possible joy simply of the life that we lead. Powerful inspiration. So that's my sharing for today. And, of course, the focus of the healing process that we teach is that of first century Aramaic forgiveness, where forgiveness has nothing whatsoever to do with me letting you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. You know, most of the world lives in denial, and the denial conversation goes like this. It's universal. You made me mad. You made me afraid. You made me sad. You hurt me. You upset me. That disturbed me. And every phrase that I just repeated is a phrase of denial. And our definition of denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is causing something to happen inside of me, then I'm in denial. And what happens when I have that kind of conversation is that the part of my mind that holds my pain, my turmoil, is no longer mine to change. The denial of it means I wear it on my sleeve. Everybody in town knows what it is except me, and people bounce off of it and play off of it and follow the lead that it energetically gives them. And the part of me, until I know how to collapse the resultant picture that my mind paints of everyone else being the problem in my life, until I know how to collapse those and access directly, crack open that dissociated part of my mind, then that dynamic tends to run me. In the ancient Aramaic, they said, very brilliantly and right on track, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. You'll notice that those who understood did not say, take care of the other guy, take care of your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your spouse, your children, for out of them are the issues in your life. No, the issues in your life come from your own heart. We have not been able to translate that word heart for almost 2,000 years in the West. Just a few decades ago, the unconscious was rediscovered, and its impact was partially understood. And the rediscovery led us to come to the point where we could start to understand what was meant by that word heart. And the heart is the part of the mind that holds hidden dynamics that rule us, that prompt us to behavior, that build pictures in our minds, that create our diseases, and that draw to us the circumstances that we say hurt us or bother us. And when they say take care of the heart, in essence what they're saying is you must learn to crack open your own dissociated mind, your own unconscious, and clean out the content that never belonged. And there was this genius 2,000 years ago, a man named Yeshua, who understood precisely how to do that. The process is called forgiveness. The Greek, having no idea what he was talking about, turned it all backwards and made it all about how, well, I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. I'll forgive you. And you'll notice the whole forgiveness conversation throughout the whole culture, everywhere you look. You know, the conversation is like, how did that make you feel? Well, just forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. Well, whenever you hear the word forgive, if you start to shift your mind into recognizing that that word means remove, it is quite literally the scoop with which we reach into our own unconscious dynamics, pull out the energetic dynamics of that which is creating those unconscious prompts and throw them out. Removal, forgiveness. The Greeks turned it backward. Here people are running around trying to let each other off the hook and hoping that letting each other off the hook will change their minds. It's never going to change your mind. And it's never going to lead you to loving someone when you quote-unquote forgive them. Forget about ever forgiving anyone ever again. Forget about forgiving yourself and forget about ever loving anyone ever again. I should say loving anyone because you can't. The truth is you are the active presence of love. And when you forgive, when you remove the internalized, hidden hostilities and fears, then you function as love. Again, the changing of the meaning of the words. When I tell you that you're the cause of what's happening inside of me, then I hide my mind from myself. The idea of this forgiveness process is to restore your mind to the truth that you are the awesome active presence of love. And when you function out of that, then you're human again. That's what we're here to support, the actual presence of human life on the earth. And so, Jeannie, it's Dr. Kim with us. Let's say hello if he is. Say hello.
He is with us, and just FYI, we have three hands up.
Oh, well, then let's just, I know what Tim's going to say. He's going to say, well, let's go to the callers. So let's go to the callers and see what they say.
Okay, the first one is area code 828. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael, Terry.
Hey, welcome, Terry.
Can
I hear your voice? Loud and clear,
yeah,
sir.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah, loud great. Yeah, we had a little dialogue this morning, and I wanted to call in and share that on the radio show today.
So I lost you there for a second, Terry, while I was putting my headset on. But what'd be on your mind today?
Yeah, I was just saying that after a little conversation this morning, I was inspired, and then you invited me to check in. I have it on my calendar every day to listen to the radio, and I'll catch a few minutes here and there. And I was especially excited this morning to come in and share some really, really wonderful results that I've achieved here lately as a result directly and indirectly of being connected with the YGAM work.
Fabulous. Tell us about it.
Well, I just posted on my page, and I think I meant to share it on the YGAM page too, that over the last 8 weeks, I moved into added a juice to my diet. I didn't take anything away or, you know, go on any fad diets or anything like that. I started doing a big juice in the morning, a big juice at night, and that has naturally fueled my body to drop 74 pounds, which is crazy incredible. I still can't believe it, over the past 8 weeks. And just so that, you know, people don't think that it was, oh, it's just all about the juice. It was the preparatory work that went into the emotional, mental, and unconscious things that were brought up and stirred up through the worksheets and the work that dealing with you. But what was really cool is as I was going out of my space today, I looked up at my whiteboard. I got a little whiteboard in my bedroom, and I had made a commitment last year. It was 2/14, February 14th. I made a commitment to myself to do 100 worksheets on my body, and not just my body. Whatever came up around my body, my body image, and connected with just loving myself as and who I am, no matter what that looks like. And it was really sweet to make that connection and see how that the seeds that were planted in my unconscious and conscious mind just naturally unfolded, took fruit, and has started to manifest as an outer improvement in my health and well-being. And I want to thank you for everything you've done, for being in my life for so long now, and all the times of support where the phone calls from you have been synchronistic at the very least. I've gotten a couple of essential or critical calls, or you just checked in with me at the times when I was going through some stuff, and I can't express my appreciation enough for that, Michael.
Well, that's an awesome result to get. That opened such a space for so many people who are fighting that weight challenge. And congratulations. That's pretty awesome. 78 pounds in 8 weeks without changing your dietary regimen, simply by adding juices in the morning and worksheets. And, you know, I often, Terry, talk on the phone about the time that you were driving back after 2 years at Heartland, and how you stayed overnight at a hotel and you woke up in the morning and were just in this total place where every cell was connected to love. I share that oftentimes on the show as a possibility of what people can accomplish, what people can do. And then when you got back to Asheville, how you were seeing such shifts in your family out of your five worksheet a day commitment over 2 years, that you boosted your commitment to 10. And so that's an awesome idea to take a time period and really do worksheets on your body and your body image and functioning as the presence of love. That's pretty awesome result, sir.
Oh, Michael, it's just so, so awesome. And yesterday I shared, I work with a lot of fellows in 12-step work stuff too, you know. And
right.
I was told early on by one of my mentors that he said the 12 steps are spiritual kindergarten. And some people get insulted by that, but a lot of people are just coming into an understanding and awareness of beginning consciousness, and it is like a kindergarten, and it's the foundation, and you have to feed yourself milk, you know, before you can eat meat, as that expression
right.
goes. And the guys that I'm working with, I bring them along through this 12-step foundation, and I'm always planting seeds about the worksheets. They're exposed to the worksheet, and they're starting to do a little worksheet stuff. And you helped me incorporate your worksheet into a 12-step component worksheet. Do you remember us doing that little exercise out of Heartland?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I still, you know, got all that merged, and that's developed really nicely. So I encourage them. Come on, guys, let's get with it. We got lots and lots of work to do. This is a lifelong process. This is something we're going to be doing for a long, long time. And I was sharing with one in particular yesterday, James, that about that story, that exact story you just shared. I said, Michael shares this on the radio quite often. And yesterday morning, Michael, I woke up with that little glimmer again. It was like, oh, yeah. And it just feels so nice when you wake up in that space. So I'm telling you, it is achievable to come and shift in big ways and to connect to that essence.
Now, when you say yesterday morning you woke up with that little glimmer, are you talking about tapping in once again to that presence of love on a cellular level?
Yeah, and I say little glimmer. That's an understatement. It was awakened in that state of. In that state of conscious, active presence of love. It's just a beautiful thing that happens.
Yeah. Now, that's, of course, where you've lived your whole life, right?
Let's see now. What's 57 times 365? What's the math on that? 57 times 365. Let's see. Now let's put about 10. That's 20,000 days, 20,805 days of on this rotation around the planet, and I guess about, my guess is 20,790 of them maybe some of the you know, let's give it a couple hundred. You know, 20,000 out of that 20,800 are pretty much in the, not in the state of a conscious, active presence of love. There were some pretty, you know, traumatic things that happened early in my environment, childhood. I know there's a lot of us that, on the planet who get into some stuff pretty early, too. So, getting back to that place can be challenging.
Yeah, Terry, a lot of people can't conceive of having been raised in hostility or fear and challenges of moving, really truly moving out of that into the possibility that you wake up in the morning and every cell is just singing with the presence of love. Would you be willing to share just a little bit about your history that people might get what kind of shift is possible?
Well, I guess... you know, yeah, I can share a little bit. My mom and dad, you know, that was an environment. My father was a career criminal all his life, and he was pretty violent and alcoholic, periodic alcoholic, abusive, and I witnessed some horrific things that, and you know, when I was 4, 5, 6 years old, that you would think no child should ever be exposed to, you know. The first time I met him, he was as tall, I was as tall as a handshake. Because my father and my grandfather took me to the Smithville prison to meet my dad, and I saw his hand go out to shake my dad's hand, and he had a $20 bill tucked behind his thumb and slipped it off my dad there in prison. So I was about 5 years old or so. And there was a... I don't know how graphic we want to get into this. I don't want to get, let's just say there was some heavy stuff going on, you know, for years. And that I moved into addiction, heavy addiction, by the time I was 17. And I'd been arrested several times prior to, you know, even being 18. 17 years old, I got arrested for armed robbery. And not proud of that, and my dad came to get me out and taught me a pretty brutal lesson in front of police officers there about how to handle yourself when you do get arrested. It wasn't about not doing it. It was about, here's how we do this kind of thing. So that's the kind of stuff that was going on, you know. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, you have an awesome story to tell. Maybe it's time to start writing your book. And making it available, because, you know, just so that people can comprehend. Yeah, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. Fabulous. And I'd love it if you would share what has developed for you, you know, if you've got a format for the 12-step worksheet. You know, we could put that, there's a link on the website where we have a number of different worksheets, long form, short form, and, you know, maybe you could share that one, and we'll put it on the website, and we'll give credit for people who want to talk about it to you, and if that works for you, and then it'd be available for people who are doing 12-step work.
Oh, that's wonderful. And the guys have really enjoyed doing that, and I've got a link to, on one of the blogs that I've got, but it's kind of an inactive blog. I'll just shoot you the Word doc, if that's okay, and then
awesome.
We can get that 10-step worksheet up. And then I've got a blog, too, that's called Healing, Health, and Leisure, and www.healinghealthandleisure.com. And there's a lot of dialogue. There's some entries in there definitely around Heartland, my Heartland time, what was going on there, some interactions with you and other folks. And I've harvested a few copies of your book. There's not many on there. I've got for resale to folks who want them. And, you know, we were talking about that there's, since it's out of print, that one of the guys are scalping it for like $60,000 or something for a book that was signed. Like, I didn't buy that one, Michael. Okay.
Well, maybe I'll put it online and do the same.
Yeah. But there's some good stuff on there, and it's just really starting to take off. Got some of the juice recipes, and then it's, I'll have that 10-step worksheet on there also. As a free download, and if you wanted to put it on your website, that'd be really amazing. I'd love to have
cool.
that.
If you send me the Word document to my Gmail address, that would be fabulous. And I just honor the work that you've done. I honor the support you've been to Heartland, just how much you contributed while you were there. I know I still look at that building, Harmony, and say thank you, God, and thank you, Terry, for the fact that it has a new roof on it and it's safe and sealed. And so much, much appreciation for your work on every level and the support that you give each month to the work through PayPal is also very much appreciated. Thank you deeply, deeply.
Yeah.
And
you betcha, you betcha. You know, that time was invaluable, and I can't even begin to put a price tag on what I got out of being there for 2 years. And I'm proud of what I was able to accomplish with the structures and all around there. And
yes,
the work that we did do as far as bringing things up, and there's always plenty to do there and always will be, you know, in a situation like that where you've got a lot of responsibility, a lot of property. But, you know, just to say, I know it was a lot of work I put in, but it was nothing compared to the benefits that I received from that whole process and from my continued relationship with you.
Cool. Well, and this summer, if there's anybody who's listening that is ready to move your work to the next level, we have a variety of work support, work exchange programs, a 2-year support team program, and shorter. And we've got a small crew there, so that would be wonderful if anybody is interested in doing that. And of course, we'll start our summer out with Food Fund Forgiveness and Work Project, a 10-day where Ari will be doing some awesome new food recipes, and we'll be doing work projects during the day, workshops in the evening, greeting on Saturday. So we'd love to hear from you if you want to participate in that. And Terry, it's just I'm just so honored, delighted, and pushed to the edge of tears when I listen to the work you've done and the shifts that you've made. It's just amazing, and that you're passing that contribution on to others. You know, maybe you're going to become the why is this happening to me again, representative to the 12-step world. That would be cool.
Well, it's giving me chills just thinking about that. And, you know, my son is, I certainly cleaned up a lot of stuff genetically and energetically around that family stuff. And I can't help but think that's why Ian is moving through his stuff as quick as he is. He's on a rapid pace. He's going through some tough stuff. It's just, you know, I can understand where it's coming from, the roots of it and all, but I can also see how he is on an accelerated path that is like literally has removed a decade of suffering from that kid's life just from the work that we've been doing together.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's just absolutely fabulous, and mucho, mucho gracias.
Okay, I'll be listening to the rest of the show. Thanks for letting me have the time on here.
All right.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, Phil. My best to you, Gene.
Delighted.
I love you, Gene. Okay.
All right, blessings.
And I was just looking, too, and this might, I don't know if you might want to go back to it, Terry. We started, I think that it was at the end of April of 2011, and it went through May of 2011, and we did multiple radio shows. So you can click in the Mindshifter Radio archives and go to that. And we did multiple shows on codependency and how it is very similar or in line with the 12 steps. So that might be something, too, to look at. Before I take the next caller, I wanted to share, I did get an email. Nene had written to me last week. Somebody needs to mute their phone. She had written and said that she was helping in the Coral Springs to do the support group again. And so she sent me an email and she said, thanks for reading my message the other day in reference to the group that we were starting back up in Coral Springs. She said, I was delighted to go there and introduce the new worksheet and to continue supporting them. They usually have a socializing time afterwards, and she said she wasn't able to stay and socialize with them, but she got a message from one of the people, and they said that she did not meet their expectations, and so she's not part of that project now. So she asked to be held in the space of love as her
insecurities and rejection have been triggered. And she said, when she wrote the email, she said, so I am ready now to do my worksheet number 3110. And so she asked everybody to hold the space for her as she's moving back through that, because she was ready to step back in and take the support group. And apparently they have something different in mind, so we'll possibly be talking to them to see, because we do have them listed as a support group on our website, but we need to definitely check and see, are they doing this work or are they just doing something else? Or so we'll be following up on that. But Nanae, if you're listening, we hold you in the space. So our next caller is area code 561. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
I have Michael Coughlin.
Hey,
well,
why,
hello,
why,
Michael
why?
Coughlin.
Hi, guys.
How do you be, sir? What's exciting down there in Boca Raton?
It's good. It's two things I wanted to call. One, I wanted to make a shameless plug. My support group is actually starting today. I got it all the lines all ready to go. It'll be 7 to 9 every Wednesday at the Center for Spiritual Living, Boca Raton. That's right off Palmetto, right after 95.
Awesome. Hooray.
So we got that going. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. So if anybody wants to come up, I made some calls, and we'll see how that goes. And the other thing that I thought was pretty cool was I was at the VA today, and I was had to get some injections done into my knees. And I was talking to the doc, and I don't know how, but it went to Margaret was doing something yesterday while I was in class, and then I was teaching a class. So he started asking questions about it. And so I started talking to him, the whole transferal of emotions, deny, disassociation, projection. These guys ate it up like I was giving out Scooby snacks. I was shocked. I mean, one is a young guy who just literally got orders to go. He just joined the Army as a doctor, just got to finish his teaching. They were discussing a paper that somebody put out that guys with post-traumatic stress are showing not only mental anguish, but some of them are showing physical anguish. And the doctor's point paper was to the fact that they're showing us because it is all emotions that they have. Basically, the idea of the physical manifestations of degenerated energy caused by non-being emotions. So I was talking to him about what was going on, and I was honest about some of the things that I had gone through and, you know, during my doc times and the booze and locking myself up in the high security psych ward. I mean, all those fun times. And they were shocked. So I think they want me to stop bringing it to the vets. And I think I have my in. They both go to write papers for their respective departments. They're going to contact my psych doctor and get his recommendation. And they either want me to start the program at the VA center that's down in Lantana, or possibly do a class there at the VA center itself, or they want me to come down to Miami and give a spiel to this doctor who wrote the paper. So I have no idea where that's going. I just thought you would kind of like that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Crazy good. Yeah.
Hey, two calls in one day. We got Terry going out to the 12-step world, which I know you do a lot of too, so you guys might want to communicate a little bit. And then
I used the 12 step. I just did a fourth or fifth step with a guy, and I was able to get him to understand the ramifications of regrets and past emotions that are not exposed. So I can't say that this is something else. I can use everything that you teach when I'm doing the 12 steps. And I actually told him that I was doing a class on forgiveness, that if he wanted to attend, he could have attended, but it wouldn't be an AA thing. So he says he might attend. Who knows? Maybe he'll put the word out and other people will attend. So that's quite exciting. There's a lot of fires going on. And they want me to speak at the prison, too, that our mutual friend at the prison wants me to come in and speak, because I'll tell you later on, we had another mutual friend that didn't do too well and got removed from speaking in there. So they're trying to get me in there to keep your work going down there.
Right. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like it's expanding all over the place.
Well, were you listening to the conversation with Terry?
I was, yeah. I would love to get a copy of his 10-step sheet. Because I personally use the sheet as my 10-step every day.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
well, I'll make sure that you guys have got each other's phone numbers and they can communicate, and it's just fabulous to watch what's developing. That's awesome. But when I talked to Terry, I had invited him to just share a little bit about where he's been so that anybody who's listening has a sense of what's possible, what really, truly, with real people can be done. So
right.
Maybe you just share a little bit about, you know, your history, maybe even your journey to Heartland this past summer and just what just took place, which, you know, for me, just opens a space for people to go, wow, is that really possible?
It's true. My youth was pretty rough. You know, my father abandoned my mother and I when she was 17, pregnant with me and had me. I spent the first few months in incubators with my mother and father, didn't get that, you know, hands-on time. There was a lot of abuse with my mother to the point where she tried to kill me when I was like, I don't know, 5 or 6. I ended up in the foster care for a period of time. Then got back with her, abuse all the way until the time I left. I joined the military at 17. Abuse as in like thrown out windows, put outside in a blizzard, punch. I mean, just not spankings. I mean, I got serious abuse and mental and anguish and whatever else you want to, you know, made to eat the spoiled food, bunch of horrible stuff. And so then I joined the military at 17 and, I was very good at that. By that time, I had discovered my first jug of choice, which was anger. And then anger became my armor. It became my comfort. It became my security blanket. It became what I thought I was. I did 26 years. I got out in 07. At 07, everything fell apart for me. I finally had enough of my former spouse. There was a lot of infidelity and cheating and abuse, and I couldn't take it anymore. I was afraid that somebody was going to get hurt. I was afraid I was going to kill somebody. So I finally decided to leave, and I thought my children would come with me, but they stayed with their mom, and I started spiraling out of control a bit. I committed suicide. I tried to commit suicide in 07. I hung myself, woke up on the floor with urine in my pants, and then spent the next 48 hours trying to hide the rope burns while I was still active duty. I retired and I chased my childhood sweetheart to Florida, and I was still messed up. I was crawling into a bottle to the point of drinking 3/5 a day. I was about to lose everything. I mean, I hated everything. I hated myself. I hated breath. I hated God. I hated mankind. I hated everything. So I went to the 12 steps and started to get sober. I started to do the Eastern philosophy thing for a while. I met this guy who's a Chinese medicine doctor, taught me some meditation and some Qigong and some other things. So that was the beginning of it. And through that, I saw this guy with sandals and some hippie shirt and a beard and gray hair come walking up with some tea meeting that we had. And I said, hey, how you doing? He was like, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I'm like, who is this pompous ass? And that pompous ass turned out
now,
to be...
Now, who would you be talking about and saying those kinds of words?
That would turn out to be you. And so my girlfriend at the time, I don't know, maybe my fiance at the time, dragged me to see you at some meeting down in Fort Lauderdale. And I tried to run out of it, and I got angry and shouting. And I would have left, but my car was blocked in the driveway. And Margaret wouldn't leave, so I stayed, and then I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm away. And then you came walking out. I'm like, who is this guy coming out to me? Are you out of your mind? I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'6", and some people say intimidating. And I was, so I started the work. I started it, and I went 1 year with my wife for, I don't know, a month or so. I think it was a little over a month. And that was great. It really helped our relationship. And I continue to work. I taught it for a few years before. This last year, matter of fact, a year ago this year, I had a tumor that was growing, a nerve tumor that was growing through my back. And I had done some pretty offensive, I guess is the best word you could say, medical practices to try to help it, and that didn't work. And so I basically was on 60 milligrams of methadone for the pain. And it was just, that's just the way it was going to be. I couldn't walk. I was in a walker. I was having seizures and screaming in pain. So Michael and Margaret convinced me to, oh, by the way, Michael's work allowed us to work through things to a point where the girl that I came down here to chase finally agreed to marry me, and we got married. It was a year ago, December. So I healed enough of that, some of that stuff, so for her to marry me. This summer, I went down there with Michael, and I thought I was going down there for a month, but I started making progress, that even more than I could see. So Michael and my wife got together, and I ended up staying there the whole time. There was a bunch of nights I was on the phone begging to come home, but I stayed. And at one point in time, we did this breath session, and, man, I went someplace that even to this day I can't tell you anything about it, because there is not words in my vocabulary to even fit where I was. And I came out of there, and I was connected to something that was so much bigger than me. I was connected to the whole. It was the first time in my existence that I believed that I was part of the whole. I was literally the manifestation of the source, and I was acting and feeling that manifestation and that true source, the true being, the love, the peace, the blessedness as my being. And I was speechless pretty much for at least 48 hours, maybe longer, maybe it was like 3 or 4 days. And shortly after that, I started to walk. I started to swim across the lake. And before you knew it, I was running up the hill. And I got home. I started working out, lifting, doing other stuff for the first time in I don't know, 10 years maybe. Recently, it's starting to grow back. You know, I'm starting to have some of the problems again. So I'm going back to Heartland this summer, and I'm fully expect this isn't a hope. This isn't well, maybe, gee golly, then maybe this will work. I fully expect to go there and completely heal this inside of me. You know, people might think, oh my God, this guy's a tree hugger and new world, new age, crystal believing, and I am not. I mean, I argue with Michael. I've tested him. I paced in the back like a wounded airmail. But this thing worked. I have no explanation, but I know for me, on two separate occasions, doing this work healed me. Healed me physically, healed my soul, healed my heart, connecting me to a place where I didn't look out in the mirror and want to break it. I didn't look out in the world and want to hate it. I want to embrace the world now. I see that the divine pattern in front of me every single day. You know, the smooth stones of David, they're there in front of me. I see them now. My intuition is just incredibly off the chart of doing the right thing. And for doctors in the VA who once were ready to call a code green because I was so angry, I was scaring them, to want me to talk to other veterans and work with a guy who's writing a PowerPoint paper, it's just an amazing transformation of Michael. And the big thing, if you're wondering if Michael is, because if you're wondering if this stuff is real, let's say somebody gave you this worksheet, or you heard it from somebody and you're listening for the first time. I didn't believe in anything until you showed me. I tested Michael at every single turn over many, many years. What kept me coming was one simple fact.
Here it is.
Is that you did what you say. I've watched you breathe. I've watched you do worksheets. I've watched you continue changing and growing and improving your vitality. And in myself, I've watched it change me from a non-human being that wanted to end his life to a person that wanted to embrace in every single moment, that looks outside the window and sees joy and happiness, that, you know, can face any struggle and keep that human being, that true divinity, that source of love that is my true state, and understand that in all my walks of life. And it's just such an amazing trip to be on every day, to wake up and go, what's going to happen today? It's just amazing. And it truly is. It's an eye-opening experience. And if you don't believe me and you don't believe anybody else, I'm telling you, I was a non-believer. Matter of fact, I was not past a non-believer. I was an arguer. And this stuff works beyond my wildest expectations. And it's a life-changing event. It literally saved my life. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that if I didn't find Michael's work, I wouldn't be married to my soulmate, and I probably wouldn't be alive right now. And I sure as heck wouldn't be sober, and I wouldn't be in such a happy, joyous state that I'm in right now. It's just an amazing, amazing thing.
Well, we are absolutely delighted that you chose to apply your intelligence, because, you know, I have carefully watched you, and, you know, you came in as a skeptic and took me literally when I said, don't believe a word I'm about to say, and tested and tried it, and, you know, applied your original intelligence, the way you present. You know, I've listened to you now a couple of times present to people, and the way you apply your intelligence and the way you source it is awesome, and I honor it, and I support it, and it's just, you know, it's fabulous. It's just, you know, what can I say except carry forward, and it's just fabulous to hear what's happening with the VA and the opening that there is there. There's a lot of hopelessness in the world today that these tools totally, completely just move that garbage out of the way, and let's carry on with human life. It's just so simple when you get down to it, but when the culture has complicated the mind the way that most people's minds have been complicated, it takes some time to work through those layers to get down to the simplicity of it, and then applying it. And then, of course, we're each faced with a lifetime of work, because ultimately, once you get finished with your own life's traumas, then you start working on the next layer of your genetics, and the next layer, and deeper and deeper. And so, so it's just, I'm delighted you're on the phone today, and glad to hear from you. And it's just, once again, as with Terry, I'm on the verge of tears. Just, you know, like, how does life get better than I get to do this for a living? You know, how cool is that? Pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
Pretty
I
awesome.
Love you. I love you.
I accept. I think that was for you, Jeannie.
Pardon?
I said I love you too, little
sister.
Left.
Love you too.
All right, baby. Well, I'll be seeing you guys soon, okay?
Okay, give me a call after the show if you would.
I will.
Okay. Blessings.
All right. Love you.
Mucho gusto.
Absolutely, my friend.
All right. Love and blessings. Give Margaret a hug for us.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I will. Love you guys.
Okay,
love you,
bye-bye.
Too.
Okay, bye-bye.
We have a lady in the chat room. This is her first time in the chat room, and she said she's up in Pennsylvania, and there's no support group up there. However, she's new to the work, and she's done, I believe she said, 4 worksheets. It scrolled down on me here. And, well, you were, Kathy, you were going to be next, but, okay, call in early tomorrow and let us help you walk through a worksheet. So we do have one more caller. We're down to 5 minutes. 417
before,
area code, you're on the air.
Yeah, before we actually go to the caller, I'd like to offer to Kathy that, you know, there are a ton of instructions on the website how to start a support group. Order some DVDs. You don't have to have done more than the first 4 worksheets that you've done, and you don't even have to know how to successfully complete one. People have heard of this work, started a support group the next day, and gone to work with the tools. And order a couple of the videos, start sharing the videos, even if it's 1 person, 2 people, 3 people. Start sharing the videos, and as the people in your support group learn, you will learn. If you want to take it to the next level, if you're ready to create the kind of results that Terry just talked about or that Michael just talked about, then, you know, we've got Jeannie's doing a 9-day healing the whole woman starting in less than 2 weeks now on the 17th of April here in Orlando. And at the same time, I'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Both of those workshops would be open to you. And if you feel like it's your work to do, then the next step, when we finish that 9-day, we'll be doing a 12-day teacher training. So if you're ready to get something moving in your area, our invitation is for anybody who feels this is their work, that we're here to support it, take it, and let's just change the dynamics on the globe. So, and in the meantime, we've got area code 417. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? Theodosia, Missouri.
Theodosia. Hi, this is Magda. Hi, everybody.
Hey, welcome.
Hi.
Welcome, young lady.
What a show. How wonderful to hear what Terry is doing with himself, for himself, and out there. And Michael, oh, my goodness. I'm so blessed to know this work and to know those people as well as you and Jeannie. Anyhow, the reason I really called is because in our support group last night, the Heartland support group, we were watching the communication DVD. And,
your favorite tool.
Yeah, working on it, learning how to do it. So we had a discussion afterward, and two people have this question, so I'm asking for the group. What if you're following the steps in your responsibility communication, and you go through the step where you're reporting just your objective experience?
Observations.
What happens?
Yep.
And what happens, what do you do if the other person says, oh, no, that's not how I remember it. I never said that. Or
right.
I never did that. What do you do then?
Well, remember when you're doing responsibility communication that our definition of communication is different than the way the world generally uses the word communication in words, you know. We live in a culture that uses words for almost for anything but communication. They use it to manipulate others, to beat others into submission, to get what they want, and that has nothing to do with communication. So remember our definition of communication. I have a reality in my mind. I have a picture painted on the inside of my eyeballs that I know belongs to me. I'm responsible for this, and I'm describing that picture. And what I want is I want to transfer that picture intact into your mind. If I can do that, then I have successfully communicated. So recognizing that everybody's got a different reality, then rarely when any communication takes place are even the objective facts going to be identical. But the idea is with that step is not to establish that they are the objective facts, but just to make sure everybody's talking about the same situation. And so each in turn has the opportunity, and I can say, you know, if you say, well, that's not what I said, well, I understand you have a different reality, but what I'd like to do right now is simply describe what my reality was, and that's how I heard it, and I leave space for maybe that's not what you said or how you said it, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, what I want to get to is, it brings up for me an issue that I want to get support and healing. So
fabulous.
If you stay with me on this communication, then, and if you're willing, we keep goodwill active, then let's work through this. And then you take your turn at your description of it and your issue, and I'll support you in doing that. The idea is to gather support for healing, not to convince that somebody else that the picture you painted inside your eyeballs is true about them or anything else.
Right.
And we're down to the last few seconds, so perhaps we could get everybody that was involved in that discussion in on tomorrow's radio show and continue the discussion. In the meantime, I do have to close the show out, so we'll just say thank you, and I hope that works tomorrow. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Trade the best year yet of your eternal life. Awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.